Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the HBA podcast series. My name is Julie Kelly, and I'm not only the Vice President of Business Development for Ashfield Healthcare, but I'm HBA volunteer leader and your host for the Healthcare Business Women's Association Blog Talk Radio Show. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA, as we like to call it, HBA is a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, and providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. Now, our discussion today is part two from our series on communicating techniques for navigating gender bias. And today, we're focusing again on meetings, but specifically on how to deal with idea theft and getting airtime. We're going to explore the recommendations taken from Breaking Through Bias, Communication Techniques for Women to Succeed at Work, and that's a book by Andrea Kramer and Alton Harris, which was released May 2016, and we're going over Chapter 8 specifically. Now, this book emphasizes that meetings are key to networking, displaying your unique perspectives and showcasing your abilities. So it's more than having a seat at the table. Women have to have a voice and create the right impressions. Joining me today are Linda De Silva, who's the Northeast Region Life Sciences and Healthcare Business Women's Development at EY. Joanne Galankowicz, the Vice President of Commercial Effectiveness at Novo Nordisk. And Jessica Fenning, the Global Digital Governance Director at AstraZeneca. Welcome, Joe. Welcome, Linda. And welcome, Jessica. Linda, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Julie. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us today. So I've been an HBA member since 2003. I was a Rising Star as well as a Luminary, so I've been a volunteer with HBA for a long time and have found significant value in my career in helping me advance and also network, creating that industry network. So it's definitely worthwhile, and I get to play and meet with all you lovely ladies this afternoon. So thank you for the invitation, Julie, to participate today.
Absolutely, and then thanks for your work finding this book. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, and I'm happy to be here, too. I think I've been a member of HBA as long as Linda. I was also a Rising Star. I've been at Novo Nordisk for 10 years now, and I also chair our women's network. So this topic is very close to my heart, and I mentor a lot of women who have these issues here at Novo, so I'm happy to be here to talk about how I handle it and what I've seen here.
Great. Thanks, Joe. And Jess, welcome.
Hello, everyone. This is Jessica Fenech. Besides my AstraZeneca job, I've been there for 24 years. I am passionate about HBA, like all of us are, and I'm the senior global chair for a group called the Global Digital Innovators. And my passion is around, again, female talent development as well as everything digital. So looking forward to today's conversation.
Great. Welcome again, ladies. Now, before we get started and I start stealing all of your ideas, I'm going to ask Linda to refresh the concept from our first podcast series, the Goldilocks Dilemma. What is this dynamic, Linda?
Yeah, I love, Julie, I love the way that the authors presented it because it is so true. And the Goldilocks Dilemma is really about how we characterize how women are seen. We're either seen as too tough or too soft, but rarely just right. So when you assert yourself in an effort to kind of hold the floor, you risk being seen as aggressive and unpleasant and sometimes not a team player. In the reverse, if you give up the floor, you're likely to be seen as pleasant and likable, but not really qualified for that competitive world of senior leadership or having the capability of having those tough conversations. So the only way that you can make the impression of being strong and likable, it's really through a balance of both agentic and communal, verbal and nonverbal behaviors. So the authors define agentic qualities as being aggressive, assertive, independent, self-confident, in contrast to the communal qualities, which are seen as being nurturing, kind, sympathetic. So really our goal is to try to strike a balance and be self-aware of how our style is being expressed and how we're being perceived by our colleagues.
Wow, sounds like a lot of work, but But a lot of work is what we need to do to get a voice at this table. I know that I've had a hard time being just right for every audience. So let's get this conversation started with one of the most common meeting challenges women complain about all the time, idea theft. Linda, can you take us through this?
Yes. So, I mean, everybody can relate to this one, but during meetings, you know, we all experience idea theft where a woman's idea or suggestion is stolen. And, you know, men tend to pay more attention to what men say and not necessarily to what women say. So a woman can make a very valid, interesting, or a strategy challenging point at a meeting and just watch the conversation proceed as if she didn't even say a word. But, you know, later on her point is restated by a man, and all of a sudden the conversation is likely to take on a totally new focus, with the man being praised for his insight and ingenuity. So, you know, how do we deal with this situation? Well, according to the authors, the way they described it is, you know, ideally when it happens, either the meeting leader or another influential person who's at the meeting should step in. But reality is we can't always rely on a third party to protect our ideas from theft. So, honestly, it's our responsibility to ensure that, you know, we receive credit for our ideas. And when someone attempts to steal it, you know, we have a choice. We can either claim ownership or remain silent. You know, either direction, it has its risks. By staying silent, it's safe in the short term, but it really is the first step down a slippery slope away from career advancement. On the other hand, if you're claiming ownership of your contribution, you could risk hostility, criticism, and it also displays like that confidence and competent. And these are two key traits that are necessary for career advancement. So the net-net, if you think about it, you know, we need to use both the agentic and communal qualities to successfully achieve that kind of just right Goldilocks, you know, position. So if we try using perhaps a sense of humor, you laugh and say in a very light but even tone, you know, I'm flattered you thought my idea was so good it deserved to be repeated. Something like this type of humor, it highlights your confidence without exposing you to criticism for confronting that person, you know, or being too communal, too soft about the situation.
Right, yeah. This has happened to us. I'm sure everyone on this call can think about a time, at least one time when this has happened. So I'd like to hear from you. You know, what experiences have you had where you were successful in responding when someone, you know, claimed your idea like it was theirs and it was brand new? Joe?
So I've seen this many times, and I see it a lot of times with my female counterparts in meetings. And I think the one thing is that we need to be our authentic selves when we're also responding to these situations. So I do use humor when I hear other people's that are trying to take my idea or perhaps even somebody else's idea, but that may not be authentic to somebody else. So I think it's up to each individual to try to find what works for them. But I had a situation just a couple weeks ago where the men in the room were talking about this idea, and we were talking about it like it was new for the first time, and this is great, this is what we want to do, yes, we need to do it. And then they asked me for what my opinion was, and I came back and I said, well, I thought it was a great idea the first time when I recommended it and we started to implement it last year. So it kind of got a couple laughs around the room, and then they realized, because sometimes I don't even think that they realize that they're doing it, and they realized that, yes, that probably was the case, and it gets a laugh and gets you back into the conversation. So, but I think it is important for women to speak up and take ownership, because if we just sit back, then we're not going to be taken seriously when we're at the table.
Yes, absolutely. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. I'm just thinking about some recent, again, meetings that I personally have been at. And what I think about, too, is self-awareness comes to first to mind. But when I look at women in particular meetings trying to share their ideas, I find at times we might multitask at meetings. So maybe we're making sure the video is projecting. It's normally a video conference. So to make our ideas heard, I make sure that I don't have my laptop open, that I'm actually actively engaged in the conversation, and I'm, you know, at the ready with my few key points. So if someone takes my idea, I come back with more details about the solution that I was initially offering, because I'm probably the closest to it, and your passion, like being your authentic self, comes through as well. So the other person doesn't have those details. So it shows your skill set and why you're passionate of that topic.
I like
you know,
it.
I'm wondering
I like
whether when we have, like, these breakthrough ideas, even if we put it in an email, like, so it's in an email, it's date-stamped, time-stamped, whatever. I found sometimes the same thing where people take credit for something that I offered, but I go back to, I have the email that proves that was my idea. I mean, I almost feel like sometimes you need to do that to protect your career, especially with if you're proposing something kind of breakthrough or risky. You know, I'm wondering if that might protect us, you know, in terms from idea theft.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Linda, and I've done that. Actually, I had to go back one time to show something, but, you know, at the end of the day, you've done so much work going back to prove that it was your idea. Sometimes that isn't received as well, right? It's like, all right, you know, you really dug back to find this, to show me this, to prove that you were right. At the end, I would say, well, you know, it's nice that you're right, but don't lose sight of what we're trying to do here. And so I think, again, here's Goldilocks.
Yeah.
You know, there she is. It's like my weight, too heavy, too thin, never just right. But, you know, we struggle to do that. And it's real. It's real out there. Ladies, thanks for your comments. Let's talk a few minutes about another common challenge women experience in meetings. And that's trying to contribute when you're an introvert. You know, I always like my best practice is calling the quietest person in the room. I always feel they have the most to say of value. But Linda, take us through that airtime.
Yeah, so, you know, it's another, I think, situation where a lot of women experience that you're at a meeting, you can't even get a word in edgewise. No matter what they do, it's like they don't come up for air. And it's I think, more challenging if you're introverted. So if you're not getting the airtime that you want, you have to figure out what you need to do differently. And so some ideas that, you know, again, you can kind of stand up, maybe go pour coffee, get water, whatever, lean forward, kind of, you know, you're kind of breaking in the action and get that opportunity, that window to say something in a, you want a very loud, kind of firm voice, you know, I have something important, a point I want to make. And if you're interrupted, you've got to try to hold on to the floor. You know, if you're being ignored, you got to interrupt and repeat your point again. I mean, I've used body gestures. I've done that kind of thing every once in a while because the guys will go on and on and on. And, you know, at this point, airtime is really about being regarded at a meeting and the meeting participants as someone that's worthwhile listening to. So you need to find a way to make the other participants want to listen to you. You've got to find that break so that you could get what you want to said. But make sure that it's significant, that it is something that people truly should hear and not just perceived as you're wanting to make a contribution to the conversation.
No, we have a lot of those, people that just say something to say something. I can recall several meetings. There's a dominant person on a particular team that just talks for the sake of talking, and that's a hard thing to break into, really, really hard. And I've tried to think, how can I get into this conversation? So I like the technique of standing up and leaning in a bit more and making eye contact with that person and saying, okay, with your eyes, it's time for someone else to speak. So what kind of thoughts do you have on this?
I would agree with you, and I'm, you know, if anybody who knows me, I would be the person in the room that you would immediately be able to see by their body language that maybe you should be quiet a little bit more. So, you know, being balanced in how you react, and also knowing that your expressions and your body language also tell the story. That's also something that, you know, myself that I work on. But I work with a large group of people who are self-claimed introverts, and a lot of our people do data analytics, are very analytically focused, and for some of them who I've interacted with, I wouldn't have known that they were introverts because they spend a lot of time working on what they need to do to have that presence in meetings and have that presence with people. And some of the things that they've talked about are making sure that you are prepared for the meeting that you that you're going into, because Julie, you said it. You're being invited to the meeting because you are going to add value, or you wouldn't have been invited in the first place. So, if you're prepared and you know based on the purpose of the meeting, what are some of those key points that I want to make, and have those ready at the hand, then you'll be able to step in when a comment is made. And then the second thing is, if you have a problem with trying to push in or get heard after the conversation is started, then try to be, or make it a goal for yourself to try to be the first person that says something. Now, not just something to say something, but, you know, you have your purpose, but try to make it a goal to be the first person to speak or the second person.
I like that.
Because then that will maybe get you in there, and then people will then start to even point to you and ask you for your input.
Right. I like that. I want to be the first one to comment on this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right before that normal person that always takes over everything has an opportunity to speak. I like it. Hey, Jeff, what do you have to add?
Yeah, so I'm very similar, I think, to Joe's advice. What I've observed in recent meetings is to find a key topic or theme that you want to be associated with, almost like your personal branding or something really related, again, to your skill set, and then use and find the opportunities to be the repeater, the champion for that topic. So when people leave that meeting, they know like you're the go-to person for that expertise. I also, you know, joking about I put down keeping your comments short, because you want to be known for that. You don't want to be, again, that person that only wants to hear their voice in the room. You want to give that perception of value-added conversation, you know, additions, and adding instead of just disparate, comments for the conversation itself.
I like that one, Jessica. You know, the other thing I've seen, have you ever been in a meeting where everybody talks, but then there's somebody that kind of sums it up, synthesizes what they've heard, and kind of gives the high-level strategic look at that direction. And everyone's like, wow. It's like that person that just heard everybody's opinion, summarized it, and is trying to now drive that conversation forward. I think that's a leadership skill set. Not everybody has, but that is one where you can kind of break through the chatter and have something really significant to contribute to the conversation to move it forward.
Right. I just want to comment. You know, Jesse said, you know, you don't want to be that person just who talks all the time. But you know what? That person who talks all the time, they think that's great. And they may think that they're the subject matter expert because they have all the answers. So, again, you know, that might be an acceptable position for maybe a male to continue to talk throughout the entire program, but a woman, I don't believe a woman could get away with that. So, again, this whole Goldilocks dilemma about how we're supposed to behave because of who we are and not what we are. So, thanks for a great conversation on that point. So, the last dynamic we're going to discuss this afternoon is, you know, this topic of piling on. You know, when an idea has been accepted by key meeting participants and others, rush in and reinstate and pile on to the idea. How does this affect women, Linda?
So, you know, I laugh when it starts happening, but it is rare for participants to pile on to a woman's idea at all, you know, until it's been successfully stolen or validated by a man. But this is a perfect opportunity for women to work together and support those great ideas that we present. You know, and so we should ensure that our ideas are heard and validated. And this kind of behavior does encourage all participants to recognize and validate, you know, all the initial ideas that are being said, but just try to make sure that we have a level playing field here. But I do laugh when it happens, because you're like, okay, this one's going to go on and on and on. But there's a social dynamic that's going on, you know, behind that, and so we should encourage it in the right way.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I've experienced this a lot, and actually I just had a we have lean in circles here at NNI, and I had my first one with our new group, and this topic this came up, and how it's really important for you to have an ally in these meetings. And you know, if it's another woman, then that's great. There's a lot of instances where it may not even be another, there may not be another woman in the room. So to also ensure that perhaps you have another ally if it's a male in the room. Again, being authentic by bringing back the ideas that have heard. I've heard many leadership team members bring up ideas, and the men just ignore it totally and move right on to somebody else and not even acknowledge what the woman had just said. So in those instances, I kind of try to make a point and come back to that idea and bring it back and say, well, as so-and-so said, you know, I think this is where we need to go, and maybe she can talk a little bit more about that. And then again, I think that men realize what they're doing, because as soon as that happens, then they engage back into the conversation and they bring that idea back up. So I think it's important for us to have those allies in meetings.
Absolutely. Hey, Jess, what do you do in situations like this?
It's very similar, I think, what Joe had recommended, is I like hearing people's names called out. I think that makes people just sit up, you know, and be more engaged in the conversation. So I do by using people's names. So Jen's idea was so good, for example, it made me think of another point or to, you know, add into the conversation. I think it also helps the pace of the conversation to slow it down a little bit, you know, if the dogpiling, you know, gets out of control. I think hearing people's names really gives, you know, credit to their idea.
I like it. Lynette, what other gender aspects of piling on behavior should we be aware of?
Yeah, I think it's important what Jess just said really is, you know, women, when we see this happen, we're a little bit uncomfortable. We really see no point in piling on. You know, the idea's been vetted. You know, it's been endorsed. Let's move on. But really, when this occurs, we run the risk of not being seen as being part of that team. You know, we could be viewed as being contrarians or troublemakers or pessimists. So we should be alert when piling on begins, because it's the social dynamic, right? It's like people are thinking about it. They're validating it. And even though we think that, you know, all right, let's move on, there is this social agreement, this bonding that needs to happen. So if you agree, say you agree. You know, if you disagree, then make that known, but, you know, do it in a pleasant, non-confrontational manner, kind of that Goldilocks style. But there should be no ambiguity as to where you stand on ideas or actions or plans that emerge that come from that meeting that you're present at. You know, and in a situation where you dissent from the majority view, you know, you can expect to be seen as uncooperative or unlikable or having disrupted the harmony of the group, the flow of the discussion. And I think, you know, potentially we could face some backlash in the form of criticism or exclusion, or, you know, if it's a highly political situation, it could be some career penalties. So I think we have to be cognizant of it to avoid or minimize the backlash by dissenting in a very articulate and thoughtful and powerful way, so that we come across not as judging the person, but really the idea that's being debated. And make sure that your criticism, it's well-founded, especially around the values or the strategy of the organization, because you're projecting social sensitivity and concern for the organization's well-being. So, again, it's the idea and not the person. You can ask questions. You know, you can assent to another person's point of view where appropriate. You can use a first-person plural pronoun such as we or our. But, you know, again, try to maintain a very friendly and understanding demeanor. Come across as very, you know, monotoned in a sense. But these are all very solid recommendations on how to navigate that type of a dynamic.
Well, wow. Wow, lots of nuggets today on this career conversation. I don't know where the time has gone, but we are almost out of it. So I would like to thank Linda, Joe, and Jessica for sharing their insights today. And I hope that our HBA members listening have benefited from this program. And we look forward to our next topic in the series of communication techniques for navigating gender bias and we'll be discussing self-promotion and advancement. We all need a big helping of that, so thanks again, ladies. This is Julie Kelly signing off for the HBA.
Great. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.